We say yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to your word. Lord, have your way in this place tonight. Let everybody have an encounter with you. We have not come to see any man, we have come to see you. Touch us where it really matters the most. Let us leave your presence refreshed, revived, and fresh fire, hope, and courage to be able to execute and fulfill destiny. We give you all the glory tonight. For we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. How many grateful people are here tonight? Let's give them a shout. I said a shout of victory. Amen. The Lord bless you. God have your seats. Glory be to God in the highest. Look at your neighbor and ask him. Say, I believe you're here tonight with an expectation. Respond back to your neighbor. Are you here with an expectation? Now tell him or her, your expectation will not be cut off. For I think this is the third week in the series, we have been speaking about how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. God wants us to be successful in waging our spiritual warfare. The reality is, the reality of the fact is that spiritual warfare is real. And every one of us is involved to one extent or the other. That is why you and I need to know how to fight this battle. Amen? It's a real battle. It's real. It's ongoing. And I'm very confident. I'm really looking forward to seeing victors, great conquerors arising from this mountain in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, say, God has already won the victory for you. Let me say this before we start tonight, that we are not trying to overcome Satan. Amen, somebody? You are not trying to subdue Satan. Satan has already been subdued. Our job is to enforce the victory. Say, enforce, somebody. We are like an enforcer to enforce the victory that has what? Been already been won. 2 Corinthians 10. That's where we find our foundation scripture. 2 Corinthians 10. We are going to begin to read from verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, don't say every thought, to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete or fulfilled. I've established to us in this series that spiritual warfare is real and you and I are involved in this battle. God's expectation and God's plan for us is to win. It's clear from this scripture that there's a warfare. It says, though we are walking in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. That's to tell you that your warfare is not physical. Amen. And if you remember, while I was trying to define what spiritual warfare is, I said it's not a physical battle. I said it's a battle that you fight in the spirit realm or the unseen realm. Spiritual warfare has to do with exercising dominion over the works and activities of Satan. that Christ has already obtained the victory for us. Spiritual warfare is enforcing the victory over Satan and his cohorts based on the finished works of Christ. Glory be to God. It's a fight that we fight in the unseen realm, in the supernatural realm, where God is all powerful and Satan is in revolt. It's a conflict that every child of God is involved in every now and then. I don't know about you, but that is how real spiritual warfare is. And God wants you to win. Say after me, say, I am destined to win. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, it says, you have got little children and you have overcome them. You have overcome them. It says, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there's no doubt about the fact that you are destined for victory. I've explained to us, I gave us reasons, apart from explaining what spiritual warfare is all about. I also went ahead to explain to us reasons why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare properly. Then we went ahead to share with us some basic things you need to understand about the concept of spiritual warfare. And I think where we stopped last time when we gathered was we started looking at the things that will help us to wage spiritual warfare successfully. We're going to be looking at 10 of them. I explained 2 explicitly. We stopped on the 3rd one. I will just say those 2 things for the way, purpose of refreshing our memory. I said the first thing that will help you to wage spiritual warfare successfully is that you must understand the value or the worth of the weapons that you carry. I explained that. Then the second one was that you need to also have faith in the weapons that you carry. God bless you, choir. Amen, somebody. Then the 3rd one, that is the one that which, I didn't finish explanation, but I introduced it. I said the 3rd thing that is crucial for victory in your spiritual battles is for you to deploy your weapons how effectively. Listen, you may have the best weapons in the world. You may have the best armory. You may have the most sophisticated of weapons. It will do you no good if you don't know how to deploy it. Deployment is crucial. I think I had something years ago. I'm trying to remember it. Yeah. It says an army of sheep that is led by a lion will defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. Amen, somebody. Have you heard that saying before? It's about leadership. Amen, somebody. So it's important for you to know that you may have the best of weapons. God has equipped us for this battle. There's no doubt about the fact. But you need to deploy it. There's a way you are supposed to use it. Amen, somebody. And I told you that God has given us the best of weapons. When you look at Ephesians 6, from verse 10 to 18, there are about 7 of those weapons there. Then when you look at other places in the Bible, there are other weapons. Weapons like girdle of truth, weapons like breastplate of righteousness, weapons like the word of God, weapons like faith, weapons like the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. These are powerful weapons, amen, that you and I have. But we need to know how to deploy them. You see, when you engage in spiritual warfare, you must know how to deploy all of these weapons effectively. And to do this, you need to pay attention to the following things. Number 1, you need to use those weapons the way God says you should use it. I'll take you back to 2 Corinthians 10, our text scripture from verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. Verse 4 now says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. For what? It says, for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. That's what these weapons are for. These weapons are for pulling down. These weapons are for casting down. And it says, every high thing that what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it says, bringing to what? Captivity. Now, listen to what he expects you and I to use these weapons for. To pull down. Says pull down somebody. To cast down. Listen, that's what God wants to use his name. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Amen, somebody. The weapon of faith. Let's use it the way God says what it should be used. I'll give you a classic example. Jesus, when he was leaving, he called his disciples together before he left here. Mark 16. He told them from verse 15. He says, whosoever believes in me, this sign shall what? Follow them. In my name, they will cast out devils and so on and so forth. Now, he gave them several instructions. Now, the beauty of that instruction lies in what they did with it. Hello? If they did nothing with it, there will be no consequence. Hello, somebody in the house? If they did nothing with it, there will be no manifestation. So it's important for us to realize that if you look at verse 20, the Bible says, and they went forth. Don't say went forth. The Bible says they went forth. Why did they go forth? In obedience to what Christ has said. You see, most of the time, you can be fully armed. Say armed, somebody. You know, I told you last week, I said we are armed and dangerous. You can be well kitted, but you see, the power in what you carry lies in your using it. The Bible says, oh, taste and see. Psalm 34 verse 8. Taste and see that what? The Lord is good. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So, listen. You need to use those weapons. Tap it, say, use it. I think I told about the story of this young lady that before she met the Lord in a secondary school, boarding school, she used to be tormented by some set of, colleagues who evidently belonged to, an occult world. They would torment her. And when she sees them during the day, they are coming like this, she would just go like this, run away, of course, she's terrified and afraid. Then she got born again. Then, but you see, those attacks still comes. She will run to go and meet her uncle. Uncle will pray for her and she will sleep soundly. Until one day, uncle said, no. I will go back. He said, I don't know what you said. Once that thing comes, take authority in the name of Jesus. And now, she never knew that she could do that. Amen, somebody. Now, that's why I said you can be kitted with the weapons. The power is in using it. And when she went back and she took authority, the next day when she saw those girls in school, they came begging her. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, the power is in using it. Tap it and say, use it. You will not know how effective it is until you use it. So, that's how to deploy it. Amen, somebody. Number two, another way you deploy it is by using it frequently and constantly. When David stood before Goliath, that's not the first time he was facing a giant, facing a challenge. He told everybody who cared to listen. He said, I come against you in what? In the name of what? The Lord of hosts of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel that you defy. And he began to tell them, the same God that killed the what? The lion. The same God that killed the what? The bear. He will deliver you into my hands. He had tested those weapons before. He was a regular user of it. You know, somebody was cracking the jokes the other day. He said, even though people can call upon the name of God, name of Jesus in emergencies, and God being faithful, he will show up. But you need to get used to using that name. Amen, somebody. I said, amen, somebody. Amen. If you want these weapons that you carry to work, use it frequently. The name of Jesus is not supposed to be far away from your mouth. Amen. The word of God is not something that should be far away from your life. It should be a part of your life. Living by faith. You see, the reason faith does not seem to work at times is because people are not used to exercising their faith. I was telling somebody recently, and I said living by faith has its own challenges. And yeah, there are challenges in everything you want to do. There are challenges. If you decide you want to be living by faith, believing God for everything you want to, you are going to face a lot of challenges. Amen, somebody. But your ability to say no and stand your ground, and the more you exercise that faith of yours, because how many people know that faith grows? It grows. There are levels. But if you don't start using that little faith, you call it now. Say little faith. It can grow. I was blessed. Years ago, I was listening to it by Kenneth E. Agin of Blessed Memory. He was talking about this great man. I forgot his name. He established orphanages in England. Helped the helpless. Why did I forget his name? Great man of God like this. Lived up to be 90-something before he passed up. He said, this man had a policy. He was not going to borrow money from anybody. Amen, somebody. And he built several orphanages, sent several poor, disadvantaged children to school, fed them, clothed them without borrowing money from anybody. Amen, somebody. I said, amen, somebody. He said in the beginning, when he used to believe God for $1, he had to use all the faith in the world. But he said, I kept using my faith. He kept using my faith. Until he got to a time he could believe God for $1 million. He didn't get to the $1 million mark in one day. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, keep using the weapons you have. You see, that's why I love what somebody said. He said, if you want to keep your faith active, there must be something you are believing God for at any point in time. And that's true. Don't forget, the Bible did not say live by faith when it's convenient, or live by faith when the enemy shows up. What did he say? The just shall what? That means I'm supposed to live by faith. Glory be to God. So tap your neighbor, say, use your weapons. Use it regularly. Okay, Judge Muller, that is his name. Judge Muller. Amen. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Number three, how do we go about deploying the weapons that we have? Use it based on the need of the hour. Use it as occasion will deserve or demand rather it. You know, depending on the occasion, depending on the scenario, it will call for different use of those weapons. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When the prophet anointed Saul, that is Samuel, 1 Samuel 10, verse 6 and 7, it says, the Spirit of God will come upon you, you shall be turned to another man. And he now told him, verse 7, he said, let it be. When these signs are come upon you, know that God is what? With you. You will do as occasion demand. And you see, in the deployment of the weapons of our warfare, you must use it based on the occasion of the hour. Say, occasion of the hour. There's this story I had about this great man of God who gonna use in the southern part, South American, part of the world. He wanted to do a crusade in a particular country. And there were obstacles. They were just saying, no, that man, whenever he comes here, so, because they've had the report of what? No, don't allow him to enter this country. So through a friend of his, he had an audience with the president. So while he was conversing with the president, trying to say, what's the wisdom that I'm going to use to present my case, that I'm here as, an ambassador of the gospel. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. That I'm here as an ambassador of the gospel. That how will I present my case? He said, while he was thinking about that, he just saw that the president had a goiter on his neck. Oh,
So I said, this is an opportunity. So we started talking about the healing power of Jesus. Amen, somebody. The Jesus that he represented. President, well, okay. You know, he's like, okay. I said, the power of God is alive, oh. The power of God is active, oh. I said, really? He said, you know, God's power can do anything. I said, really? He said, he can even take away your goiter. Just reach out and touch him very quickly. Amen, somebody. Because, you know, you can't touch prejudice anyhow. Let the bodyguards come and pull. He said, like a flash in the pan, that thing just disappeared. Right there. The man said, what? Why did he say you want to do the crusade? He just gave it. I mean, say any day, any time you want, the door of our country is open. You can see that he exercised his spiritual weapons as occasion what? So we need to watch out for God moments. Say God moments. Because there are God moments, there are opportunities that God has prepared. And will prepare. Glory be to God. I think I've told you the story before years ago when I was here in the city of Ibadan doing my youth service, serving the nation. Amen. The Ajuaya or whatever they call it now. Amen, somebody. Our headquarters was somewhere in along Egbeda, you know, local government. So there's a Union Bank that they used to pay our Alawiden. So when I went to that place to collect the allowance, even somebody. Though I don't think the Union Bank even exists anymore. It's no longer there. Amen. While we were waiting, everybody queuing and, you know, business was going on right there. Somebody just had an epileptic seizure in the banking hall. Amen, somebody. Of course, and everybody just retreated straight in different directions. Amen, somebody. And, you know, the guy was just walloping in the house. Like everyone, nobody wanted to go there. Of course, initial reaction, you know, you feel that sense of, this is a banking hall. This is not a church, you know, that kind of thing. Amen. But, you know, God kept telling me, you can't say you don't know what to do. I said, but how can I go here and begin to pray in the open glare? They know me as a copper here. Amen, somebody. Let me face my copying. Is there anything like that? Let me face my job as a copper here. Amen. So, but you know, the Spirit of God will not leave you if you know the truth. Hello, somebody. I had to summon up courage. I said, I'm going to do what I know I need to do, regardless of what anybody thinks here. And as I was trying to move some elderly, he said, come, where are you going to? I said, I want to go and pray for him. He said, you better don't go there. I said, oh, my God, don't say they were not talking the local language. You know, there's a lot of mixed meat and beliefs about those things. I said, don't worry, daddy. I said, don't go there. Of course, I went there, prayed with him. You know, we started like a mini deliverance there. After 20 or 30 minutes, everything came to off. Spoke with him, tried to pack everything. Do you know that from that day, somebody, anytime I came to that bank, came in somebody. I mean, the level of respect went up. Glory be to God. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, use your weapon. Depending on the need of the hour. It's important that, you know, occasion, you know, will present different scenarios. I remember a young girl, through a friend of mine who was very committed in the Apostolic Student Fellowship of Nigeria. They call it Tax Fund. I was involved. I'm Anglican by birth. Amen, somebody. But I got born again, so you know, left the Anglican setting. But the Tax Fund Fellowship was more like, you know, Pentecostal, charismatic. So we go there every Thursday to pray, have fellowship. That, you know, in the course of being there, we noticed this young lady, probably 12 or 13. We got to know that she had been placed under marathon fast. She was looking very lean. So what's wrong with her? After a while, we now discovered that they placed her on that marathon fast because they said she was a witch. And they were trying to cast out the spirit of witchcraft from her. So I said, you know, first week we didn't do anything. Second week, but when we came back, I said, my friend just said, we can't be watching this poor young lady girl, I mean, suffering. Amen, somebody. So we decided to take the bull by the horn. Amen, somebody. Minister to her. Amen, somebody. And my friend, through some other people, went ahead and said, well, break your fast. Where's your mom? We saw the mom. Of course, I was not a member of that church. Amen, somebody. But he was. But, you know, that generated some issues with some of the leadership there, because they said, who asked you to go and stop her from doing this fast? And at some times, you know, they will come in the place they kept her. It's like keeping somebody in a cage. Amen, somebody. And giving her some, you know, some blala. Amen, somebody. Because people say, what's the medicine of, you know, that all these very taboo or very funny beliefs. But, you know, God delivered that girl. By the time we saw the mom, she was completely free. Amen, somebody. But of course, we faced a lot of resistance from the leadership. So like I said, the greater part of the encounter, I was not privy to. Because my friend was not briefing me that they really summoned a committee and they stood before the council to come and explain. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Tap and say, the truth will set you free. But you know, that girl was just suffering unnecessarily. The truth always sets people free. Hello, somebody. And listen, you may be faced with scenarios whereby you have to exercise dominion and authority based on the weapons that you carry. Don't let your high be pushing you. Amen, somebody. Because, no, there are respectable, dignified people here. How would they feel when I begin to look at them and say, that is dominion? Tap them and say, use those weapons depending on the need of the hour. Then, number four, how do you use the weapons effectively? Use the whole armor. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, 11 and verse 13. It says, put on the whole armor. What does that mean? That simply means that you must always put on your armor. The exams of life has no timetable. That's why you have to be ready. Tap your number, say, wear your armor all the time. What does that mean? Be battle ready. The armor, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. Be fully armed. There's nothing like, I want to put my armor down today. No! Listen, if you look at those armor, the way it's described, it's part of your dressing. Hello? If you go outside now, you see somebody without any dress or clothes on, what do you call the person? Amen, somebody. So spiritually, if you are not fully kitted, you're going to be vulnerable. Yes or no? So tap your neighbor and say, put on the whole armor. You must be ready. God wants us to live ready. A prepared life or lifestyle. Because you can never tell. Like I told you, the experience of that happened in the banking hall. I never thought. But thank God, God got me ready. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, have your armor fully in place. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but all of the time. Because you will need it. And it will serve you well in the name of Jesus. Then number five, how do you deploy these weapons effectively? Use it relentlessly. What does that mean? Use it persistently. At times your position does not cave in easily. Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 12, right from the days of John the Baptist up till now, the kingdom, say the kingdom. The kingdom of God suffered what? Violence. And the man of violence does what? I remember a young lady, student of UI, came to see me some years ago. She said, sir, I am so terrified that I've not been able to travel home. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, there's this thought that says, you won't get home. Once you enter that car, it says she will play now what will happen in her mind. I said, how long? He said, this thing has been going on for a while. He said, that's why everybody has gone home. I refuse to go home. I don't want to die. I said, you won't die. Amen, somebody. He said, but the thought is coming strong. Listen, like I'll be sharing with you later, that's how spiritual warfare is. That's the nature of spiritual warfare. That's why your mind is the battleground. There was this raging battle going on, this conflict. She tried to fight it off. She couldn't. And I asked her, I said, are you a born again child of God? I said, yes. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, yes. I said, do you know you have weapons? She said, like what? I mentioned some of these weapons. I said, you know what? I'm not going to pray for you. You know, at times some people, they may be disappointed. Because probably you come for the pastor to pray. I said, I won't pray for you. I will tell you what to do. I said, you know something? Anytime that thought comes, take authority in the name of Jesus. Begin to declare. I said, as you speak against that thought, you are waging warfare. Resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and will what? Flee away from you. James 4 verse 7. Jesus said, whatever you bind on the earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Matthew 16 verse 18 and Matthew 18 verse 18. Jesus said, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom. The key. Keys symbolizes dominion and authority. She said, are you sure it's going to work? I said, I know it's going to work. She said, how often? I said, anytime it comes. If it comes 10 times, 20 times a day, speak against that thought. After 1 week, I said, she come and see, come back and see me. When she came back to see me, she said, you know what has happened, sir? Not only has the thought subsided, it said, I have been able to gain dominance and control. I feel like I'm ready to go home now. I said, go home. And she went and came back safely. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, use it consistently. It's important for you to know that we have to persist. You know, the devil at times is like a goat. A goat is very stubborn. How many people know that? If you put cassava somewhere and you chase away the goat from there, you have to keep chasing the goat away. The solution is to carry the cassava away from that place. Even if you carry it away, the goat will come and say, ah, where did you keep the cassava? That's why the Bible says, whom you resist, how steadfastly in the faith. 1 Peter 5 verse 9. Resist him how steadfastly in the faith. That's how to use this weapon. Use it relentlessly. You see that it will begin to bring you to the realm of dominion and authority in the name of Jesus. I see you taking over in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at it and say, be relentless. That's how to, you see, listen. My job of enforcing the victory at times requires persistency. You have to persist because the devil is trying to tell you, no, it's not working. He's trying to tell you, no, it's not, nothing is happening. A lot is happening. Tap your neighbor and say, I won't give up because I know my victory is settled. Can I have an amen in the house? So, how do we wage spiritual warfare successfully? Number four now, the fourth way is by using your mouth properly. Do you know that your mouth is your weapon of deliverance? Proverbs 12 verse 6. It says in the B part, it says the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. So your mouth is your weapon of deliverance. Proverbs 14 verse 3. It says the lips of the wise will preserve them. Many of us know the scriptures. Proverbs 18:21. It says death and life are where? The power of your tongue. Let me say this to you. If you are going to win in the spiritual battles or warfare of life, you must know how to use your name. I mean, sorry. Use your mouth rather. Glory be to God. Tap your neighbor and say, use your mouth. There's a saying in my language that if you don't know how to, I'm trying to paraphrase it, there's this funny proverb.
okay, your inability to use your mouth is the beginning of misfortune. Let's clap for a minute. Okay, that's it. It's close. Inability to use what? Your mouth is the beginning of what? Misfortune. So you must not to use your mouth. You can't keep quiet. Spiritual warfare. Listen, you can't keep quiet. Why do you think David was talking? Listen. Words are weapons. Hello? Words are what? Weapons. Listen, Goliath spoke. David did not keep quiet. He spoke back. Do you know that before that time, when Goliath spoke, everybody took cover? They were in fear. They were afraid. They were frightened because of what one person spoke. I'm sure in the corner of Goliath, where did they get this small boy? Because for the first time, somebody confronted him. He spoke. You know, somebody was saying this. Where is this somebody who is trying to be like, you know, a powerful guy? Amen, somebody. You speak. As in the corner of me, I said, I don't know what this guy is. I don't know what he trusts in. You don't see it outside, but inside something is telling him, what's giving this guy this kind of courage? I don't know what I'm talking about. I said something, speak. Listen, Goliath moved. David also moved. This boy must know something. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, never keep quiet. I am constantly talking. Constantly. There are thoughts that flashes my mind that I take authority. I say, no, that's not my portion. If I'm in a gathering that I cannot say it, I speak silently. But if I'm alone, I declare powerfully. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, use your mouth. Listen, God gave you your mouth as an instrument of dominion. That's how you win spiritual warfare. The Bible says you will decree a thing. Job 22:28. You will decree it, and it shall what? Be established unto you. Jesus said, by the words of your mouth you are justified, by the words of your mouth you are condemned. Matthew 12:37. The Spirit of God said something to me some days ago. He said, many of us have given ourselves away by what we have said. You have given yourself away to the enemy by what you have said. Somebody sent me a video when that tragic incident happened, when Kobe Bryant and her daughter, you know, had that helicopter accident, and, you know, and so several other people also died. Somebody sent me the video, and this person was a close friend to Kobe. And was saying some things about what Kobe said. That he wanted to die young, blah, 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 blah. That he kept saying that thing. You know, I was saying, how can somebody say this kind of thing? Anybody, somebody? So that I can be immortalized, blah, 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 other things like that. So I was wondering, I said, maybe he doesn't understand the power of words. Hello, somebody? Satan understand the power of words. That's what the Bible says. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2. If you don't listen, it's better to keep quiet than to say something. I always tell people, you are not under any compulsion to say anything if you don't want to say anything. Look at it. And say, choose the words of your mouth carefully. Please, let's stop giving ourselves away to the enemy by what we have said. Many people have given themselves away by what they have said. At times they started saying that thing, those things unconsciously. It left the realm of unconsciousness to become the what? Something that is, you're used to saying now. There's some things people say and you probably feel that it's cool what he's saying, but you don't know you are bringing yourself into bondage. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, use your mouth very well. Don't use your mouth against you. Use your mouth for you. You need to use your mouth effectively. They're going to win spiritual warfare. Amen. Someone say, how should I use my mouth? I'll give you some ideas of how you can use your mouth if you're going to win spiritual warfare. Number one, use your mouth to speak solutions and not the problem. Use your mouth to speak life and not death. I remember an incident that happened some years ago when I was in my former pastorate. As one of our members then, one elderly man, was married also to somebody who was in church. He came back from America. As they were leaving the airport, they didn't know that armed robbers had, you know, followed them, trailed them to the hotel. Long and short, they shot the man. Close range, they shot him at close range. But witnesses, the wife was saying this, he said, when they shot him, and of course, I think they took one or two bags and some things, Baba kept saying, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of God. He started speaking. Amen. Somebody, he was speaking life. Till they got to the hospital, that's what he was speaking. He was declaring. In fact, at the point, he said, give me the anointing oil. Amen. He anointed himself. As they were wheeling him into the theater to remove the bullet, he kept talking. Now, that's somebody who realized the power of what? Words. He was speaking life. He was losing blood, but he was speaking life. Amen. Somebody. Look at him and say, speak life. Not death. It's important. When the battles, the spiritual warfare, I mean of life comes your way, use your mouth well. Amen? Amen. That's how you wage spiritual warfare. By speaking life. Stop, you say speak life, not death. Number two, speak your desires, not what you are going through. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, one of the fathers of faith, I remember when he started saying something years back, some people were very angry. When he started saying, I can never be poor, some people were very angry. I knew some people, even among Christian circles, who took it up. I said, that's arrogant speaking. Listen to this. I feel my own understanding, amen, somebody. You see, when somebody is speaking, you need to know the source or the origin from what he's speaking. Most of the time, when you hear somebody speak, he must have been speaking from a wealth of revelation and insight. That's why some people cannot receive some things, because they've not received that revelation. And back then, you know, this is when there was not even a spoke. Hello, somebody. That's the power of revelation. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, that is faith in action. Speak your desires. Speak your desires. Amen, somebody. Speak your desires, not what you're going through. We don't deny the fact that we are going through things. But we know that the things that we are going through is for but a while. It won't last forever. All this cry all over the place about, you know, COVID-19. Amen, somebody. It's for a while. If you see the amount of fear, if you see the level of... Even at times, Christians, I've been wondering. I say, where's your faith? Amen, somebody. God did not say you don't go through things. Otherwise, how can you be a victor without going through things? Look at the devil and tap your devil and say, speak your desires. Not what you are going through. That's how you use your mouth for you well in spiritual battles. Number three, speak the word of God and not the words of man. You know, we are good at rehearsing the words of men. They said, this is what they said. This is what the man said. This is what the doctor said. This is what the lawyer said. This is what... We have more faith in the words of men than the words of God. That's not supposed to be so. Hello, somebody else. Look at your neighbor and say, speak the word of God. The Bible says death and life and the power of the tongue. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful. The word is full of power. Amen, somebody. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. It will begin to change the situation. It will begin to change your narrative. It will begin to change your story. The same word that made, a barren woman almost at 90 years to conceive, that made a man that was 100 years to conceive, that same word will give birth to whatever God has decreed concerning your life in Jesus' name. Top of the Bible says, that's the answer to the arrow of the enemy. The Bible says, watch this, taking the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, wherewith you shall be able to quench what? All the fiery darts. Satan is always firing arrows in your mind, in your thoughts. The answer to those negativity is the word of God. Speak it. That's how you use your mouth in spiritual warfare. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. You see that that word will begin to affect you, affect things, and change its eminence in the name of Jesus. As you speak, number five, I think, speak according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There are times when I sense the anointing upon me, and I begin to prophesy. Because at that times here, the Holy Spirit inspires you with words. Say it. I always tell people, if it's too big for your mouth, it's too big for your life. That means you cannot handle it. Say it. Declare it. Amen, somebody. And it shall come to pass. I said it shall come to pass. How should you use your mouth in spiritual battles? Speak faith and not doubt. The Bible says in Romans 4 verse 17, faith calleth those things that be not as though they were. Anybody can believe when the physical manifestation is there. But it takes faith to believe when there is nothing that looks like it that suggests such. Amen, somebody. Tap it up and say, speak faith, not doubt. How should you use your mouth? Speak, that's number six. Speak against every contrary thought and imagination. Speak against it. Thought has ears. Every thought can hear you. Speak to it. That thing that is telling you, you listen, you will never amount to anything. You will never make anything out of your life. This is the way you are going to remain. God has forgotten you. Speak against those things. Amen, somebody. Amen. Say, look at you. Look at your life. All this why? What has happened? You have been waiting. This is how you are going to wait forever. Say, no. Amen, somebody. Amen. Tap it up and say, speak against every contrary thought. Amen. That thought that is telling you, you will not conceive. Speak against it. Amen, somebody. Don't take it lightly. Amen, somebody. That thought that is saying that you will die, speak to it. Amen, somebody. Look at the number, say, speak against every contrary thought. That's how you use your mouth in spiritual warfare. Then number seven, speak in his name. In whose name? The name of Jesus. The Bible says he has given him a name, Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. That is higher than every other name, that the name of Jesus, how many of you will bow? Tap your number, say it's time to start speaking. Please, let's use our mouth properly. That's how you, listen, there's no spiritual warfare you wage successfully that your mouth is not involved. Let's stop giving ourselves away to the enemy. Let's start using our mouth for us. I see your mouth working together to put you over in the name of Jesus. Your mouth will not only deliver you, your mouth will bring you to the place that God has ordained for you in destiny in the name of Jesus. think I've told this story before of George Foreman. George Foreman was one time heavyweight champion of the world. He's a Baptist minister. I mean, growing up wasn't easy. When they are going to church with their mom and the boss, when they bought the bus, usually they will pass through a neighborhood, a more high class or highbrow neighborhood. As they are passing in the bus, he'll be telling his siblings, one of these days, I'm going to be living this kind of... If you share anything like that again, this is where I'm going to be one of these days. There's not a time they passed that place, he didn't see it. Even their same mechono, amen, somebody, did not stop him from saying it. You know, some people, they've shot some people's mouth based on the reaction. Amen, somebody. One of my mentors was sharing this story with me when I went to see him for counsel. He was talking about the fact that when the pastor that he was serving before, he said there was this burden in his heart about starting, you know, an outreach ministry, to be precise, a radio ministry. And he said, when he went to share the burden with the oversight, he said he was shocked at the reaction. He said he had never seen the oversight as angry as that before. So he said, I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't plan to make you angry. I'm very sorry. So he left the place. He was saying, God, I don't understand you. This thing is... So when the God woman was praying, he said, I don't want to... God said, this thing, I'm the one that put it in your heart. Hello, somebody in the house? Listen, the reaction of the other side wanted to kill that thing. Listen, anything that is born of God cannot be what? He said he could not... That thing did not leave him. Is some of our courage. You can say some of our courage. Another opportunity to see the oversight. He said it again. He said, didn't I tell you not to say that thing again? He said, I'm sorry, Zao, but this thing this thing cannot leave me. Glory be to God. We can laugh about it, but it was a serious matter then. Amen, somebody. He said, really? He said, yes. He said, well, I'll go and think about it. Now, if he had not some courage, amen, somebody, to say it again, say it again, somebody, that avenue would not have opened up. Don't let any other person shut what God has put in your mouth out. Look at the neighbor, tap, say, keeps using your mouth. Our mouth is our weapon of deliverance. I see your mouth bringing you into your place of destiny. Listen, some of us don't realize the power that is between these two lips. Amen, somebody. I see you walking in dominion, exercising your lawful rights and entering into your heritage in the name of Jesus. How do we wage spiritual warfare successfully? Number six, using your mind appropriately. Listen, our mind is the battleground. The battleground is in your mind. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all what? Diligence. Actually, that scripture that I just quoted, guard your heart with all diligence, guard your heart with all diligence. It simply means, build a garrison around your mind. Protect. Listen, you have to guide the kind of things that comes into your mind and the kind of things that goes out. Hello? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, use your mind. If you go back to our text, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war against what? The flesh. I want you to pay very close attention. Notice the following things. It says, the weapons that you carry, they are meant to pull down what? Now, you need to ask yourself, what are strong goals? Strong goals. So say strong goals. I can't hear. It says strong goals. Strong goals are ideas that has held us down. Ideas or arguments. Hello? There are some ideology that people have held onto, or people are holding onto, that will not allow them to enter into the land of destiny. Like, you can never make it in this city. That's a lie. Oh, I didn't hear amen. Amen. So say, you have to be in Lagos. Before you can get the kind of job you want to get. Or you have to be in Abuja, the center. I mean, the seat of power. That's what I want to say. The seat of power. Amen. So, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Ideologies that people have held onto. I was talking to some young-to-be couples yesterday, and I was telling them, at times I'm amazed at some ideologies that some people have held or some people are holding on to concerning marriage. Hello, somebody. Because the place of woman is in the kitchen. I said, where is that in the Bible? Hello, somebody in the house. People who believes. Hello? I say, hello? Of course, we know that the woman is the homemaker. There's no doubt about the fact. Amen? Glory be to God. Or some people, you see, that's why the perception. Many people, if you look at the world, the way people perceive a woman, a lady. Amen, somebody? If you watch some of those adverts, watch some of these things, you will see the way how the society, the world sees a woman. A woman is beyond those things. Amen, somebody? Hello? Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. A woman is what? An ezakenendo. I hope you remember. Okay, some people are looking at me and say, what is that? It's an Hebrew word. Amen, somebody. In Genesis 2 verse 18, when God says, I will make an helpmate. The word helpmate means ezakenendo. Who is an Eza? An Eza is a helper. Someone who is strong. Amen, somebody. Someone who is able to, someone who is able to rescue. A woman is not a weakling. So what you see, some of those adverts, the way they're portraying a woman. You see, that's why an average person sees a woman like something I need to subdue. And once I've subdued her, that's the end. No. All ladies in the house say, I'm not that kind of person. It's shocking that at times you see people even with the level of education, they still have some of these ideologies. We need to pull it down. Amen? Amen. There are certain ideologies that will not allow somebody to prosper. No matter the level of anointing you put on his head. These are strong goals, ideologies that have held people bound in their mind. No, that's what it's called. It's called mindset. Mindset, the way your mind has been set, programmed. In civil engineering, where you mix concrete. Amen, somebody? Amen. So people are looking at me and say, wait till. I'll be ready, wait. Concrete, cement, sand, gravel or granite, and water. It don't clear now. Yes, sir. Because I see them, would it be concrete? Amen. Glory be to God. Depending on the mix, if you leave it, in fact, if it's the kind of cement that they use in for water, ICs or whatever, once they are pouring the cement, is setting, is solidifying. But the ones that we use for all these houses, we can put them down maybe after 10 minutes. We can come and make. But some, if you don't go there quickly after each, tap your number, say, do like this. That's the way some people like this. So it's already it's set. There's nothing you want to say. Some people are laughing, but this is the reality. Amen. So, but this is reality. Those strongholds are coming down in the name of Jesus. Say, you can never make first class in this department. Says who? Says who? Says who? You have allowed that thing to help you, to hold you down. My son is laughing. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Tell your neighbor, say, strongholds are coming down. The Bible says strongholds exist where? In our mind. Say mind. It now says casting down what? Every imagination. Where is imagination? It's in your mind too. It's in your mind. Imagination means reasoning. Reasonings. Hello, somebody? Every high thing. I checked up that word high thing means every exalted. Amen, somebody? It means every elevated place or thing, every altitude, every height that is against the knowledge of God. You have weapons to do what? Pull it down. Listen, reasoning is in your mind. Strongholds are in our mind. And it says, bringing into captivity. Say captivity. That is arresting those things. Subduing them. What? Every thought. How many people know that the devil thrives on the power of suggestion? Oh, did God say? He didn't say you should not eat this thing. He didn't say you should not eat it too. That's not what he said. Listen, the conversation was going on in the mind. Did he say you should not take it? That's not what God meant. That's not what he meant. Hello, somebody? Tap it up and say, don't give in to the power of suggestion of Satan. Told you about the story of my friend. The friend of mine was saying that, you know, there was this lady in the neighborhood. He had been eyeing. Say eyeing. So when he got born again, God just scattered that plan. Amen, somebody. Then after a while, when he was growing cold in his walk with God, he grew cold. Then you see that thought of that guest started coming again. He said, how are you? How's everything? He started doing special visitation. Say special visitation. Visitation that you know God did not send you. Amen, somebody. Stay longer than imagined or planned. Because he had already backslid in his heart. He said, well, that was going on. He was already thinking of sleeping with the girl. Listen, he had not slept with the girl physically yet, though. But in his mind, he had already slept with her. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? These things, listen, he had not slept with her physically yet, but in the mind, say mind. Because, you know, where people plan things is where. Mind. That's to tell you how spiritual warfare, you know, happens. That's what if you can arrest those things on time in the mind, you will have victory. Why do you think Job said in Job 31 verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Have you ever said, have you made your own covenant? I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why will I think on a maiden? Why are you thinking on a maiden? Say, why are you thinking? You know your mind, that's where the power of reasoning and thinking is. You are thinking. You are supposed to be thinking on the word of God, not thinking on a maiden. Amen, somebody. I'm telling you, this is how spiritual warfare goes on. You have been thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. You've not seen the plan. The saving grace. Say saving grace. He said the day he had planned, okay, I will go and make her
You have told me this is the daddy will not be at home, mom will not be at home, uncle will not be there. He said that was the day one of his buddies said, oh boy, that's your program, oh. Where did it happen for Lagos? Amen, somebody. He said, I won't be available. Said, waiting. You won't be available for where? He said, against his will. He said, it was as if to say, God sent this person. He said, we have to go. He said, what strong? What kind of strong is that? Because of what he wants to do. Amen, somebody. This is a close friend. He told me, Pastor, he said, he forced him. They traveled to Lagos for that conference, Deeper Life Conference. Somebody's laughing. You know that when you come back, your life will be very, very simple. Oh, God, have mercy. He said, when he came back, he was so ashamed of himself that, oh boy, you were thinking about these things. That's to tell you what can happen when you don't guard your mind. Tap it up and say, guard your mind. Listen to this. We are living an age whereby, you know, thank God for technology. Some of this thing has its own downs, you know, downside. Amen, somebody? Some people are ready, some people are hooked on pornography. Because of how easy it is. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now? Hello, somebody? You see, when you allow those things to assess your mind and gain dominance, winning spiritual battles will be very difficult. The Bible says, guard your what? Your mind. I'm very, very careful about the kind of things that I see. Amen, somebody? Tap your neighbor and say, may your eye not see evil. Now, when we say we're not talking about a witch or a wizard, though, that's the kind of witch I'm talking about. Though. There are some things your kuro eye, say kuro somebody, should not be seen. Look at the neighbor and tap it and say, guard your mind. These things goes on, they go on in the mind. How can you use your mind to win effectively in the battles of life when you are casting down, when you are, you know, pulling down, when you are, you know, coming against every item that exalts? Your mind cannot exist in a state of vacuum. You must be putting something else there. That's where the Word of God comes in. You must renew your mind in the Word of God every day. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean that you sit before Bible from morning till evening. That's not what it means, though. Have your devotion, have your time, you meditate. Meditate simply means to think something over and over and over, to ruminate. You can be in your car on your way to your workplace or whatever you are thinking about, or you boarded a cab or whatever, you are thinking about what you have read. You are using that word to what? Renew your mind. The word has cleansing power. Say cleansing power. Delivering power is in the word. That's why he said that's the antidote to all the, you know, contrary thoughts, unclean thoughts. The answer is in the word. Amen. We need, the way you build the garrison around your mind is to allow your mind to be continuously renewed in the Word of God. Sometimes ago, I don't know whether they're still there, there was this big treat, bread. I don't know whether they're, I think they no longer there again. I was one day, we went there to buy bread. I was waiting before the till, there was this young lady wanted to buy something. Everybody knew the other person. And they were talking. It was coded language. They coded. All this slang of... I you know, my ears could not just... I said, what? Then I would just remember. I said, hey, you used to be like this before. If not for the grace of God. Amen, somebody. You know the way people throw some of this... You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to say some of those things. Some people know, hey, boy, boy, I don't do you. Can you can't say that?
It was coming out like a tap that was open, like this. I could not. I said, what? What kind of... You see, that's how you speak like that. Your mind will not be warped. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, use the word to renew your mind. If we're going to win spiritual warfare, you have to use your mind properly. It's the battleground. Harm your mind with the word of God. You can say no to those thoughts. Amen. Another way you can, you know, you can use your mind appropriately is to pay attention to what or how you think. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can never be greater than your thoughts. What are you thinking? How are you thinking? Hello? That's why Philippians 4 verse 8, Paul said, these are the things to think on. Whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever is honest, pure, of good report. Think. Think. On purpose. Think. Listen, God's people. Do you know that how you think determines how you feel? So why is people saying, I don't know how I'm feeling. You know how you're feeling. We know the origin is your thoughts. You know, there's this saying before, I don't have control over my feeling. You have control. You have control. Change the way you are thinking. Suicidal. I mean, when you see somebody with suicidal tendencies, depressive tendencies, so most of this starts with the thought. Say thought. Say, go and jump in the lagoon. Jump? Go and jump there. Go and finish it. Hello, somebody in the house. Look at you. Nobody loves you. Nobody likes you. Yeah. You see, when you allow such kind of thoughts to gain dominance and dictate the way you think it, you are thinking, it will begin to affect the way you feel. The way you feel is determined by the way you think. It's been spiritually, scientifically proven. So tap them and say, watch your thoughts. You see, that's why you must guard it. Say, guard it. There are some thoughts, they don't have any business flying around in your mind. Say, arrest every thought. Listen, it's like a seed. Before it begins to gain, let me ask you a question. When a seed is planted, under 1 week, and a seed that has been planted for 1 year, which one is easier to uproot? That's the danger of allowing thoughts that are, you know, that are injurious to your spiritual well-being, thoughts that are contrary to God's purpose, contrary. If you allow those things, it will bring you under captivity. But today, dominion. You are entering into the realm of dominion in Jesus' name. You know, I can't say somebody some time ago, she was saying that nothing ever good happens to me. I said, what did he say? He said, there's one thought that keeps, I said, you must arrest that thought. Because she's had it long enough, she's thought on it long enough and believed it. Don't believe a lie. Satan is a liar. That's what Jesus said, John 8:44. He's a liar and the father of lies. That's when somebody come and say, they say, I'm not fine. I say, yay, kabara sakat. I said, you don't need somebody's validation before they say you are fine. I may not be fine in your eyes, but I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says. So I don't need your validation. I don't need your validation. She's not, look at you, she's not fine. You're not, thank you. That's your own opinion. Amen. My Creator said, I am fearfully. You are one, not in a million, in 7 billion. There's no one like you. That's the reality.
Some say, Pastor Famous, so he came and money around me. No, that's the truth.
That's the truth. Is there anybody like you?
Somebody has the shape of nose like you have, that laughs the way you laugh, that sings the way you sing, that dances the way you dance.
You see, at times people wake up, they leave the house and they're walking like this. You say, wow. Oh, I'm feeling It's a bit to lift up your head like this. Raised. You are a child of the Most High. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and says, I know who I am. Let me introduce number one now. The sixth one, and we're going to close on this. What does it take? How can we wage spiritual warfare successfully? By being sensitive in the spirit. This is very important. Your sensitivity in the spirit is crucial to your victory in spiritual warfare. The Bible says, as many as are led, Romans 8:14, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You must be able to hear God. God says in Isaiah 30:21, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in. Sensitivity. If you look at that scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6, it says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete. Readiness talks about being ready. Alert. Hello? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant means to be awake. That word sober means to be, it talks about self-control, to keep away from wine. Hello? 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6 says, let us not sleep like those people who sleep in the night, but let us be what? Let us be what? Let's be watchful and what? And sober. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, you need to be sensitive. Listen to this. This is one of the very important weapons that you need. Your sensitivity is crucial. I have a friend of mine who was saying this. He said it so much, so many times to me that I can't forget. He said you must be a step ahead of the enemy. It's talking about being alert, being spiritually sensitive. Because there's a time to strike. Amen, somebody? There's a time to move. There's a time to do certain things. You must not miss out on those moments. Amen? You know, Jesus knew that not all the people that were walking with him were with him. Let me say it again. Jesus knew that not all the people who were walking with him were really with him. Are you telling me he didn't know Judas Iscariot? He knows. Go and read John 6 verse 30. I mean John 6 verse 70, 71. He said, have I not chosen what? 12? He said, yet one of you is a devil. So he knew the character of Judas Iscariot. He knew. Hello? Glory be to God. Look at it and say, you need to be sensitive. Sensitivity is very, there's a time to strike. Listen, there's a time to answer a fool. Like a fool. It's in the Bible. Okay. Some people are looking at me and say, wait till pastor, they say, I'm going to close on. Let's read Proverbs 26. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Are you there? Proverbs 26 verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be what? Now look at the next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be what? So there's a time to answer what? A fool. There's a time not to answer a fool. So if you're answering a fool and you're supposed to answer him, you're wasting your time. Tap and say timing. It's sensitivity. I tell people, it's not everything you respond to. If you respond to everything you hear, you're going to waste your time and energy. Everything you hear, that's what you're responding to. You're going to be distracted from where you're going. Look at your neighbor, be sensitive.
Listen, we need sensitivity. There was a young king by the name of Joash. He heard that Elisha was about to die. 2 Kings 13, from verse 14 to 19. He said, alas, my father. And she said, you don't have to prepare to go. He said, yes. He said, bring that arrow. Open that window. Amen, somebody. Fire it. The prophet said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of the Lord from Syria. Listen. The king was not sensitive. Elisha was not speaking in parable. He said, this is the arrow. Is there another way you want to say it again? If your father, amen, somebody, in the Lord is telling you that this is the arrow of your deliverance from the captivity of Syria, I think you need to be very sensitive to know that what I'm doing here is prophetical. I'm not just firing arrow. He fired it. He said, take the arrow. Hit the ground. Listen, if you had opened the window, you opened the window, point to a particular direction, even told him where to point to, direction of Syria, he put his hand on your own hand and he said, fire it. And he said, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from the captivity of Syria. You fight, take the arrow, hit the ground. If I were, you'll be begging me, it's enough. It's not enough, sir. He hit it three times, he stopped. Elisha got angry. He said, you should have struck the ground at least five or six times so that you will have wiped out Syria. I don't even know what is happening in Syria now. I said that so that I wanted to connect the dots. There are some battles that can be avoided if we are sensitive. Say sensitive. We do what God says do. If you go where God says go, if you act on His instruction early, say early. At times, people don't obey God 110%. People don't obey God 70%. People obey God 70%, 60%, not 110. Not 110. Should have struck it and said, oh, Tito. Said, no. You are the one that said it, my father. This is the arrow. The Lord will give us wisdom. Let's rise up on our feet tonight. We'll pick it up next time. Lift up your hands. Say after me, say, I declare. Say, I declare. Because I know victory is my lot. Victory is my lot. I'm made, designed to be a winner. God has empowered me for the spiritual warfare that I'm facing or that I will face. I am destined to win. With the weapons that I carry, victories are assured. I stand here tonight to emphatically declare that Christ puts me over every battle, every challenge. I will testify because my victory is imminent. My victory is certain. Lift up your hands and begin to praise Him tonight. Lift up your hands and begin to praise Him tonight. Because you will win. 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 You are winning. 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 You will have the last laugh. You will have the last laugh. You will have the last laugh. The enemy is put to shame. The enemy is put to shame. The land is opening up for you. Your victory is certain. Your victory is certain. You will never be put to shame. You will never be put to shame. Igara lavasasa. So shall it be in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I commit your people to your hand. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight that they will go in the power and the strength of your word, and you will wrought wonders, exploits in their sphere of influence, where you are positioned and placed them, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name, can we have a seat quickly?